you got any prayer requests over there, sister?
No, I don't have any.
I bet I can think of a few.
My back. It's tingling down my legs.
Sounds like maybe a pinched nerve.
Yeah, it's something. But God knows.
Well, and I continue to pray for my friend Sabrina's son, Brandon. He was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy as a child. He's in his 30s now. She's his complete caregiver. He's been in the hospital. They had to spend another night in ICU last night. They're trying to get his kidney function and his blood pressure up.
All right. And we're going to pray for Monica's back. Sounds like a pinched nerve or something. But God knows, like you said. And we're going to trust him to lay his hand of healing upon you. And so let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bring Brandon before you, Lord God. Father, we know that no one wants to spend time in the hospital. Brandon doesn't want to be there. His family doesn't want to be there. Father, we don't believe you want him to be there, but we are thankful for that hospital. We're thankful for what the doctors, the nurses, the people can do. But, Lord, ultimately, we entrust Brandon's health and well-being into your hands. We ask, Lord God, that whatever's causing his kidneys not to function properly, whatever's causing his blood pressure to be low, we pray, God, your hand of mercy and healing be upon Brandon right now. We pray, Lord God, that there would be such a response in his body, Father, that even the doctors would be astounded and they would say, man, someone's watching out for you. And I pray, God, that that someone would be recognized as Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Father, we know that you are Monica's Savior and Lord, and that you've caused her to have a new life and a new birth in you, and that her body, according to your word, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We do not believe, Lord, that infirmity belongs in the temple of your body. We come against whatever is causing Monica's back to hurt and to tingle, send tingling sensations down her legs. If she has a pinched nerve or some sort of inflammation or something out of adjustment, whatever it is, Father, we ask you to help her and help it to be corrected. Father, we're asking you for the restoration of health. And Father, I bring before you my friend, John Ternes, and his wonderful wife, Wilma. Father, I thank you for their peace, the peace that you have given them in their lives and the peace over their family. And you know John's battle, Lord God. He has taken a stand in battling against cancer. And Lord, the doctors have sent him home and said, whatever time you have left, spend it with your family. Lord, I thank you that when I visited John, he's told me that he cannot lose. He's got his faith in you, Jesus. He is believing you and asking you for more time on this earth with his wife. Not time of suffering, but time of walking in health and giving you glory for it. But at the same time, Lord, he completely trusts you with whatever you have for him. And we agree together, Lord Jesus, for your will to be done. We praise you and thank you that your mercy and grace are upon them. You're taking care of every detail. We thank you for it. I pray for my dear friend Beverly Glaze, Lord God. I thank you that she has had such a wonderful recovery from what was hurting her. And Father, I thank you that you are giving her internal wisdom and to know how to live, what to do, where to be, where to go. They're in the right place at the right time always. And Father, I just speak grace and peace over Sister Beverly, over Terrell. I thank you for allowing to be here this past week, here just the other day. And I just praise you and thank you, Father, that every person who needs you, you're not too busy. You're not too far away. You're listening. You're watching. I believe, Father, you would have me to say to all of us today on your behalf that God says, I see you. I know you. I love you. And Father, we receive that today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Mandy Wagner asked us to pray for Rolly. He is a resident here in Oak City.
All right. Father, we just set ourselves in agreement, Lord God, with Mandy, with everyone who's praying, Lord God, for Rolly or Raleigh or whatever. Father, you know the name. You know who, what, when, where, and why. God, we just speak your grace, your peace, your love be manifest, Father. I pray you do miracles in such a way that only Jesus can receive the praise. And we will be careful to give you all the praise. And Father, I thank you for Mandy Wagner, Lord God, for her just compassion and care. And I just speak grace and peace over her and her family and all that's going on there in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Tammy Bailey, she said if you put it in your GPS, just put in the Refuge Church and it finds it easier than putting in the whole address.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Bardice and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Fan the Flame.
Fan the Flame.
I feel like I've had to throw a log or two in it lately.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll just share this later. I'll just share it right now. The Lord gave me this in June of 2021. I was preaching another message, and he said this. He said, a fire constantly enjoyed never goes out. You know, I have a fireplace in my house, but I don't enjoy it in the summertime, so I just let it go out. And if I walked in and it was burning and I didn't want it burning, you know what I would do? I would put it out. If the fire, listen to this, this is fresh right off the press. If the fire was making me uncomfortable, I would either put the fire out or move as far away from it as I could get. But if I'm enjoying the fire, and who don't enjoy a good fire? I go camping in summertime, be 100 degrees. I will light a fire. I might set 10 feet away from it because it's just too hot. But I like the crackle out there in the outdoors. I like the smell of the smoke. I like the crackle of the wood, the glow of the fire. It's comforting. It's something about it, you know. And I think that the Holy God gave us natural fire because it's a representation. Fire represents the power of the Holy Spirit. Fire of God, you know, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, it appeared to them to be like flame and then divided and came and said, It was actually the glory, the Shekinah glory of God, but to them it looked like flames. And so we like our fire. Amen. But a fire, listen to that again, a fire constantly enjoyed never goes out. Never. Sometimes you're enjoying it so much, you're just, I can't have a fire, campfire, without a stick.
Yeah.
And extra wood. Because I'm constantly enjoying it. And when I'm camping, man, my fire don't go. The only time my fire goes out when I'm camping, and it don't go all the way out, because when I get ready to go to bed, I don't want my fire to go out while I'm distracted sleeping. So I put extra wood on it because I care about that fire. I want that fire to be able to get going again the very next morning easy. So I pile wood on there, and then I go to bed. I lay in my tent and listen to the crackle right there, you know. Go to sleep to the soothing sound of that crackling fire. And I wake up the next morning, and I go over to that fire, and I start fanning that thing. Mm-hmm. Blowing up, get some wood on it, move some coals around, and back to life it comes. If you ever go to the fire, though, and you take a log out, boy, it's burning, you take it out, and you set it apart from the rest of it, what happens? Very soon, we're not going to see the king. Our fire's going out. If you pull that log away from the other logs that are on fire, away from the source of the heat, it begins immediately to go out. It won't even burn by itself. You can take a log that's been burning. It won't burn by itself. It might smolder, but it won't burn. The flames will go out. And as soon as you put that log that looks like, oh, it's out, you put it back with the others, it don't take long at all. It's flames going again. You know what that's a representation of? Fellowship with other believers. That's why he said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You say, well, I don't need nothing. Well, maybe you're the log that's on fire. And I'm going to tell you something about I don't need nothing. Go to the book of Revelation. So I'll go wherever the Holy Spirit tells me to go. I got to address this issue, the old pastor said. Revelation, that's the last book of the Bible. Let's see which one it is. It's in Revelation. Okay, it is 3:14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write these words. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, Revelation 3:14. And we're going to read down through about 20. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. That's Jesus. He said, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. You're smoldering, in other words. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Why? So that you'll know your condition and where you're in. Verse 17, you say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. That's talking about being self-satisfied right there. And he's not talking about money when he said, I'm rich. He's talking about spiritual things. Oh, I got what I need. I'm good. I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. I give money to the church. I help the poor. I do this. I do that. He said, I counsel you. He said, you say I'm rich and acquired wealth. I don't need anything. When you think you don't need anything, you're in a dangerous place because you need Jesus. He said, but you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That sounds pretty needy to me. And he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. You know what gold refined in fire is? I said, well, I don't know what that is. What's that? He goes, your faith is more precious than gold refined in fire. So that gold refined in fire is like faith that's been tested and tried and remains true in the midst of fiery trials. He goes, I'm going to say it this way. I counsel you to get some faith that'll persevere. So that you can become rich. Get you some white clothes to wear and cover your shameful nakedness. White clothes represent righteousness. Get some salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Anointing. Anointing. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. If you ain't been rebuked and disciplined, you might not ask yourself why. Because he does rebuke and discipline us, but he always does it in love. Those I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be earnest, he says, and repent. Be earnest and repent. Be earnest and repent. Be honest and turn around. Be honest with yourself and turn around and go the other way. And then he said this, behold, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. I'll give you everything I got. You give me everything you got. We'll have fellowship together. We'll enjoy each other. That's what he's saying. Who's he saying it to? Sinners at the Billy Graham crusade? No, he's saying it to the church. I'm the church. You're the church. He's saying it to us. If we're not hot, like we should be, hot. Let me give you a word for hot. Fervent. Passionate. If your love life with God, if your passion for God is not what it should be, you need to do something about it. Amen. So, he said, you say you got it going on. You're fine. I'm fine. I don't need to go to church this week. I'm fine. If that's really true and your passion is good, I mean, yeah, you could. If it's only you we're talking about, your fire ain't going to go out because you missed church once. But what if you're the log that somebody else needs to ignite their fire off of, and you ain't there? Then they can't light their log off of that. Well, they shouldn't be lighting their log off of me anyway. They need to light their log off of Jesus. I agree. But aren't we the body of Christ? Are we not the body of Jesus? Are we not called to be there for each other and strengthen one another and encourage one another and provoke one another to good works? Am I being scriptural? And if you haven't been to church lately, I'm provoking you. I'll poke you with a stick. And if you get mad at me, that's okay. But get mad at me and then repent and go to church. Not because church saves you, because it won't. It don't. It will not save you any more than sleeping in a garage makes your car. But if you are saved, if you do have a passion for God, I'm not talking to you because you're already going to church. But if you're not going to church and you're telling me you got a passion for God, I'm going to look you in the eye and say, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. And you need to wake up and repent. Amen or oh my. And you say, well, why are you so hard on us about that? Because the word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And in what context? He goes, because you're dealing with perilous times and tribulation and troubles and persecution. And you cannot afford to be out. Listen, we're going to Matthew chapter 24 now. Holy Spirit said. And I said, sir, yes, sir. Learned that from Monica. Or maybe she learned it from me and we learned it from each other. Matthew 24. Oh, Jesus. Do you remember in Matthew 22? Let's quickly look at that because it's so close to 24. In Matthew 22:34, Matthew 22:34. Hearing that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law. In other words, he knows what the word says. He said, teacher, which is, the, and he tested Jesus with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? I would have thought without thinking, I mean, I would have think this, he'd go, Jesus would say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Some translations say, and all of your strength. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall what, the Lord? Believe in him? No. Worship him? No. Trust him? No. Praise him? No. Those are all the things you do because of one thing. Because you love him. Jesus said the greatest thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love him. Love him. Not like him, not appreciate what he does for you, not worship him, praise him, pray to him, talk to him, give money on his behalf. He said, you love him. You'll do all those things I mentioned because you love him, but you can also do those things without loving him. The most important thing is to love God. And I'm going to call that love your spiritual fire. Your spiritual fire is literally the love that you're experiencing towards God and from God. It's a two-way street. Now, Matthew 24, Jesus was talking about the end of days. And you probably kind of know this passage. You probably heard it. Verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came privately. Tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and deceive many. So the first thing is false Christs and deceivers. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, certainly hearing that now. See to it you're not alarmed. Good word for today. Such things must happen, but the end has not come. Nation, ethnos, will rise against ethnos. That's ethnic wars. Kingdom against kingdom. Now that's national wars. There will be famines, earthquakes in Turkey and Syria and Lebanon and wherever. Verse 8, all these things are the beginning of the birth pains. They're not the baby. Then you'll be handed over and persecuted, put to death. You'll be hated by all nations, all ethnos, all ethnic groups because of me. That has happened. It is still happening. May not be in your neighborhood or mine right at this moment. But right now, in this moment, somewhere in the world, one of our brothers or sisters in Christ, I guarantee, is being tortured or killed because they believe, love Jesus. And he said this. Verse 10, at that time, many will turn away from the faith. They'll betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And here's the verse, here's why we came here today. Here's why we came to this passage. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Let me tell you something about that. You cannot pray that that won't happen. Because that's not one of those things that you can pray away. Jesus said, this house is going to be. It's not going to change. There's nothing you can do to change it. Nothing I can do to change it. Jesus won't change it. He looked through history. He saw it as already done because he stands in the center of the hub of time, and he can look out any spoke he wants to, past, present, or future. And he saw that in the future, in the end of time, that when the world was a very perilous place and there was wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these things going on, and all this stuff and all these ethnic wars and troubles and blah, blah, he goes, and because of the increase of wickedness, let me say it this way, because wickedness becomes more socially acceptable, it becomes more the norm, righteousness becomes radical, and wickedness becomes the norm. Because of that, he said, the love of most will grow cold. Talk to any pastor you want to, and I guarantee you they have seen people that have faith, that seem to have a fire, seem to have love, and there are people, whether you believe that you can lose your salvation or you can't lose your salvation, I'm not here to debate that today. But every one of us know that you can lose your fire, you can lose your passion, you can lose your love for God. And I personally believe this, we need to have a fire burning that keeps us in love with God so that we don't do what he describes here. He said, many are going to depart from the faith. Well, I don't know how you read that, but I read it like they left the faith. They didn't. Jesus didn't reject them. No one plucked them out of the Father's hand. They just decided, I don't want this anymore. They're so cold in their relationship with Jesus that they reject him. And probably don't just reject him for nothing. They probably reject him to replace him with whatever. I was raised Christian, but I just don't believe all that. Why not? Because I went to church one day, and this such and such said this to me. I say, what? And you rejecting Jesus because some person did something? You know what that's called? And here's how it really went down. They went to church, and someone commented that, you know, that wearing that particular shirt's not very appropriate for church. I mean, we don't really like AC/DC here, you know. And someone that probably shouldn't have said that to him. Let it go. Let God deal with it. I mean, if it's one of your deacons, yeah, by all means. You know, if it's one of your teachers, hold them to accountability. But somebody just walks in, man, let it go. Let the Lord deal with it. Let the Lord deal with it. If they start growing in Christ and you develop a relationship with them, yeah, maybe you can bring it to their attention that, hey, you know, that group, this is what they're all about, you know, and then let them decide how they feel about it. But here's how it happened. Somebody made a comment about their shirt. They got all offended and hurt. Next thing they know, here's how it goes. I went into that church, and all the people in there rejected me. No, they didn't. It was one person made a comment about your shirt. They didn't even reject you. They just rejected your shirt. They shouldn't have, I would say, unless Holy Spirit told them to. If he told them to tell you, and he'd already been dealing with you about it. And the reason you got so offended is because you'd already been dealt with it, but you didn't want to hear it. And then God used flesh and blood to prophesy it or speak it to you, and you sure didn't want to hear it. And you're not rejecting that person, and you're rejecting the Holy Spirit when you won't repent. So then the next time they say, well, I went into that church, and every single person there rejected me. And I'm going to tell you, the deacons actually, one of them actually took me by the arm and drugged me to the back door, embarrassed me in front of everybody. That's not what happened at all. The only thing that happened was a person mentioned their shirt was inappropriate. Now, this didn't happen in our church. I'm making all this up. Because the Lord showed me this. This is how it works. A little incident, and then it's retold, and it's growing in their mind. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the deacons took me, and they took me by the arm, and they literally just, like, told me that I had to leave. And then it goes on for a while longer, and they're believing that. And then they start imagining. And you know what? They took me to the front door of the church, and they literally shoved me out of the door, and I fell on the sidewalk, and I bruised my leg, and I think I may be crippled now. You know what that's called? That's called a vain imagination. And it's exalting itself against you knowing God. Does that sound familiar? If it don't, go read 2 Corinthians 10, 4, 3 and 4. We used to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself of God. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Well, y'all just stay home today. It don't matter. There ain't nobody care if you're at that church or you ain't at that church. Probably same old anyway. And such is going to be there. And I don't like such and such. Well, you don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. That don't mean you got to sit in their lap. Come on. Pray for them. You start praying for such and such, and I promise you this, if you pray hard enough, led by the Holy Spirit, you will truly start loving such and such. You may even like such and such, and you and such might become really good friends. If you don't believe me, I dare you to try it. Start praying. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. Why did he say that? Because that'll keep bitterness from your heart. That's why. That'll keep offense from putting your fire out. When Jesus was telling me to give my enemies something to eat and a cup of water, do you really think he was telling me to do good to them because they deserve it? Was he telling me to try to win their friendship with water and food? No, he's telling me to give them food and water to protect me from the bitterness of unforgiveness and offense that would put out my spiritual fire. This is good. I need this. Amen. Woo. So the warning is the love of most will grow cold, and that can't be changed. But it don't have to be you. It don't have to be me. But we have to personally guard our spiritual fire. And let's close with our final scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where our title comes from. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Where are you hiding, Timothy? You're up in here somewhere. He's right after Thessalonians. Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, fervent faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So that's where I wanted to, I started there on purpose. Paul said, I know you got faith, boy. Timothy, I know you got sincere faith, just like your grandma had and your mama had. I know you have it too. And he said, verse 6, for this reason, because I know you have sincere faith, for this reason, I urge you, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of my hands. Speaking specifically of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But he said, fan into flame, for God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. In other words, if it's coming from a place of fear or torment or whatever, that's not the Holy Spirit. You need to push that away. You need to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, fan into flame. He said, well, I'm going to read the word today. Good, that's how it helps. I'm going to pray. Yes, that helps. Worship, yes, that helps. But go to church. That helps. All those things are good. That's all fuel for the fire, fanning in flame. But ultimately, it's this too. You got to monitor your flame and be honest about where you're at. And if you feel yourself starting to decline a little bit, stir yourself up. Catch hold of it. Nobody keeps my fire going but me and Jesus. I could not do it without him, but he will not do it without me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've told our church, you know, we got revival breaking out all over the nation, right? All over the nation. Next month, April 29th, they have secured permission to have a Christian big concert outreach at Norman at Memorial Stadium. OU. OU. It's called Fill the Stadium. You can look it up. Fill the Stadium. FTS. And it's on April 29th, and we all need to participate. That stadium will hold, I think, 87,000 right in that neighborhood, 87,000. We need to fill it up. Fill it up. Make the plans. Make your plans to go be part of that and worship the Lord there and be there to bring your fire. So I'm already saved, and I'm on fire. Well, bring your fire to the stadium on April the 29th. I don't know the time, but you can see it on the website. It's FTS, or Fill the Stadium. Fill the Stadium. Memorial Stadium, Norman, Oklahoma. So, God is moving. Revival's breaking out all over. And here's what I found myself saying to our church under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Church, we ought to never, ever, ever need revival. We should never need revival. Because we should stay passionately hot all the time. All the time. We should not need. But thank God that if something's happening and our fire has waned a little bit, God doesn't just give up on us. He doesn't come and extinguish it. You know the quickest way to put out a fire? Cut off the oxygen supply. You know those fire, what are they? Extinguishers. I'm trying to say smoke detectors. Those fire extinguishers with the white powder, you know how they work and why they work? Because that white powder just, and the oxygen's cut off to the fire instantly, and the fire can't burn without oxygen. Your spiritual fire can't burn without the breath of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need a little mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, don't you? Well, go put God's word in your mouth. That's mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Amen. Father, I pray over the people that have listened today and are listening and will listen, and I pray, God, that if they have a hot spiritual fire, Lord God, that I pray that you'd help us and each one of us that have that going in our lives and to know how to maintain that fire and share that fire. And I pray, Lord, for those who maybe their fire has waned, Lord God, that you stir them up. Show them what is hindering their fire and then what to do about it. Lord, draw them to you by your Spirit. And Father, if there's someone listening and saying, you know, I don't know that I've ever really even had a spiritual fire. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Today, Lord, let them cry out to you and just simply say, Lord Jesus, I not only believe in you, but I put my trust and my hope in you. Save me, forgive me, change me. Lord Jesus, amen and amen. When you pray that and mean it, God does it. Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from my spirit dad, Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.